When we speak about the peace movement today, I think it's very important to get a lot of songs to know which we sing when we march and demonstrate in Germany. And we remember a lot of older songs, songs written 100 and 200 years ago when people tried to liberate themselves in those days. And we found a nice new other song, and Anna is so kind to translate the song, and then I will sing four verses of this song to you.
Well, I just want to correct the announcement. It says peace movement in Europe. Maybe I think you are used to big thinking. I think what we do is just peace movement in Germany. So it's not who you're, maybe when you talk to French people or Italian people or British people, they have the same problems, but maybe it differs in some way or others from our problems. Well, the song is whether we wear yellow or red colors, helmets or hats. This refers to an old tradition in Germany. This is sort of a clothes regulation. When you belong to a certain social level, you were allowed to wear yellow colors. Another social class was only allowed to wear red colors. So it was that strict in the Middle Ages, but these times are over now. It doesn't matter whether you wear boots or shoes, or whether you sew skirts, or whether you repair shoes. That doesn't matter. Whether you are a chairman, or whether you work in an office, whether you do lectures or whether you repair tools, that doesn't matter. But whether you work and help where it is necessary to work, or whether you are sleepy and think God will do it, that matters. Therefore, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, all those who sing the song, the old and the young, do what is necessary. This is roughly the meaning of the song.
And it's true.
Ob wir rote, gelbe Kragen, Helme oder Hüte tragen, Stiefel tragen oder Schuhe. Ob wir,
Dankeschön,
oder ob wir Röcken nähen und zu Schuhen Drähte drehen, das tut, was tut, nichts dazu. Ob wir können präsidieren oder müssen Akten schmieren ohne Rast und ohne Ruhe. Ob wir just Kollegia lesen oder aber Bindenwesen, das tut, was tut, nichts dazu. Ob wir rüstig und geschäftig, wo es geht, zu wirken kräftig, immer tapfer greifen zu. Oder ob wir schläfrig denken, Gott wird's wohl im Schlafe schenken, das tut auch, tut was dazu. Drum, ihr Bürger, drum, ihr Brüder, alle eines Bundesglieder, was auch jeder von euch tut. Alle, die dies lieb gesungen, so die Alten wie die Jungen, tun wir was dazu.
Okay, we wanted to start again with some slides, and first of all, we wanted to ask you why Christians are involved in peace issues and in the peace movement. And we found another picture of Matthias Grünewald, the resurrection picture. And if you look closely to this picture, I think it's a very well done picture. What can you see? Perhaps a little less light, is it possible? Okay. It is well a part of the Isenheimer altar in Colmar, but we choose the picture out of a special reason. When you look at the picture, you can see in the midst of the picture Yeah, it's the sign of peace. So it's the risen Lord, and he tells the people he is the Lord of peace. He won the battle against death and against sin. And the people who lost the battle, you can see them on this picture as well. Here you can see again in the midst of the picture, he shows his hand, and really it's a sign of peace, the shalom greeting in those days. And the colors are very bright, red and the yellow and orange colors. And we had a wonderful theologian, Blumhardt, he was called, last century, and he always said, Jesus is the winner. He is the winner. He is the victor. Jesus is der Sieger in German. And on the next pictures we can see, that's another way around. You can change it perhaps. No, it's very difficult. It's a part of this picture, so it's not so easy to... Yeah, here it is. You see the soldiers, those who try to defeat him, those who fought against him, those who wanted to put him into a tomb, and those who wanted to kill him, they lost the battle, the soldiers, the army. And they fell on their backs, and they really can't stand it. And I like this picture very much because it's a peace movement picture. Jesus is the victor, he is the winner, he won the battle, and the soldiers, those who tried to kill him, and those who wanted to stop him, to stop his message, the message of hope and peace, they lost the battle. And here you can see it again. They have to fall on their knees. They're forced to do it. They don't want to do it. But I'm glad we have this picture. The soldiers, they are very well armed, and they have the swords, and they have the power. They lost on Easter Sunday the battle. I wanted to show you these four pictures because I think it's very important for us Christians to know where we have to start with the peace issue. We have to start at Easter Sunday and not no other points. Okay.
So our peace movement goes back to the World War and the time after World War II. This is another picture. This shows soldiers that try to celebrate Christmas amidst in the war. And I think that this is a very peculiar picture. This is a contradiction to the pictures we saw before. The next picture, please. Oh, there must be another one. Yeah. In between. Doesn't matter. Our peace movement traces back to the time after World War II. After World War II in Germany, everybody said, we never again want any war. And one of our rightest politicians, Franz Josef Strauss, I do not know whether you know him, he said in those days, my arm will drop and fall to the ground whenever I carry a weapon again. So after World War II, everybody agreed that Germany will never again take part in a war. But 10 years later, in the late 50s, the government, together with the NATO, they decided to rearm Germany again, and then our peace movement started. At that time, in the late 50s, we had the Easter marches, and I think that they really were, they had a good example in US civil rights movement. This was in the late 50s too, I think, and we learned a lot in Germany from your civil rights movement. People went, staged demonstrations, and went along the roads to cry out for peace and to say their opinion and to discuss with other people. And there was another movement, Fight to Nuclear Death. This was a time, I think, when the first atomic tests were done. And people realized that this would add a new quality to a new war. And so there was a strong movement in Germany against it.
And it's interesting, they started those marches on Easter Sunday. So you have the relation to our first pictures. They wanted to show, and it was mostly Christians who did it, that you can't have nuclear weapons when you believe in the living Christ.
This is a picture you certainly know. So I think we learned a lot from your civil rights movement. And then this movement, this peace movement, after some years, it sort of died out because the Cold War started again, and in Germany, a lot of people were anti-communist. And on the other hand, the big economic boom, well, people were so busy to build up a new economically strong Germany, and they forgot about the peace movement.
And then, in the midst of the 60s, in Germany, we had a lot of discussions about the third world problem, especially in view of the Vietnam War. So these were the real first big demonstrations in Germany after the Easter marches in the late 50s. And these demonstrations started at the universities in Berlin and Frankfurt and Hamburg and Munich. And after those demonstrations, a lot of groups met together to discuss the third world issue, the weapons we sell into the third world and the wars they have to fight, that we have to survive and we have to live. And this was a very important time for many young people. But I think it was the same in your country, that the Vietnam War and the demonstrations against the Vietnam War were the start of a new thinking, of new discussions. And that's another picture of the war. Yeah, you see, in Germany they call those wars substitutional wars. Those people have to fight in the third world. And even some people say they try to look how these weapons work. They want to see this, so they bring them into the third world. And a lot of groups, a lot of church groups as well in Germany, they discussed those problems in the 60s.
And the next step in our peace movement was 1979. This was the year of the NATO Doppelbeschluss. This means NATO, well, double strong decision or something like that. That means the German president said, if the Soviet Union doesn't reduce the number of the SS-20, we will have the American cruise missiles and Pershing II in Europe. And they said, well, we have five years to discuss it, and if the decision doesn't come about, we will have these arms. And in 1979, people knew, people felt that this is now really another, that the rearmament has reached a new step, and a lot of groups and initiatives fought against this decision. And you see a big demonstration, we had two big demonstrations against this agreement, one in 81 and one in 82. And millions of people marched to Bonn. We call this a star march. From every direction of Germany, they march into the capital, which is in the middle of our country. This was very effective, but in the end, it wasn't enough.
You can see on the back. Could you? Okay. In the back, you can see Krefelder Appell. And that was really striking, that 2 million people gave their
signature
on the sense we don't want to have the Pershing II and the cruise missiles in our country. And that was really new. There were liberals and there were conservative people out of all parties, and young people and old people, and that was really new. And the first big demonstrations were started during a church day, a Kirchentag in Hamburg in 81, in June 81. The Christians said we have to do something, and they called the people together, and then in the fall 81 they made this star march Anna told about. And they had a lot of wonderful ideas. You see, they made their faces white, like nuclear faces, and they tried to talk to many people. They went from house to house and really discussed this problem of nuclear arms in our country.
And there are a lot of other initiatives, I think, similar in your country, We have an initiative, Physicians Against Nuclear War, and they try to tell people that they will be totally helpless in case of a nuclear war. Maybe that some people think we can hide and then come out after 2 weeks and everybody is ready to help us. But they try to say this is impossible. And we have another initiative, Artists Against War, or Artists for Peace. You have it as well here, I think. And they really do a lot. We have another initiative, Teachers for Peace, and they try to work in the schools with children. This is a totally different question. How do you work with children, with small ones, to convince them that you have to be against war and for peace? Another initiative, Against War Toys. I think you have the same here. There are groups who, they have booths on flea markets or right in front of churches, and they tell people, come here and trade your war toys and you get other things your children can play with. And they have pamphlets they give to the parents so that they really think it over what toys they should give their children. This is a wonderful idea, I think.
You can see the women's signs, the blue one in the background, so you have Women for Peace, and you can see the red poster there, that's the Social Democrats for Peace. So it's really, it was a wonderful mixture of people and was new in Germany. So some people said, well, the communists stand behind that and we don't want to listen to those people. But that wasn't true, because the peace movement really started inside our churches. And the Dutch churches and the churches in East Germany, they really began the discussion in 1979 and 80. And they wrote the first pamphlets against the nuclear arms, and then the other groups joined together. And those Action Reconciliation, Aktion Sühnezeichen, they were the heads of all, they organized the demonstrations. So it was really in the hands of Christians.
And perhaps we should say why these cruise missile and these Pershing 2 are so important for Germany. We feel that these are no defensive weapons, that they are aggressive weapons. And I think maybe you can compare this to your Cuba crisis. The weapons in Europe now, they can reach the capital of the Eastern Bloc quicker than the weapons of the Eastern Bloc can reach your capital over here. And so as far as the distances are concerned, the places where these weapons are placed, it reminds us of the Cuba crisis. And then the Russians were forced to take the weapons back because you felt you can't allow this. But now the Russians have to cope with the weapons so close to their country. And this, I think, this adds really a new quality to rearmament, to the arms race. So we feel that in Europe, we really feel threatened by these weapons. A lot of people feel threatened. And we feel that if a war comes about between the two blocs, we are right in the middle of it. And a lot of people say, let's do without any weapon. We don't want any weapons at all.
Because we fear that the Soviet Union will destroy those nuclear weapons on our soil, in our country, because they get anxious about their afraid that those weapons will reach Moscow and Warsaw and Leningrad. So they will try to destroy them before those weapons will do this. And this would be the end of Germany.
But there is another point. Although there are really millions of people who join the peace movement, I think one should bear in mind that there are a lot of people too who don't agree. It's clear that nobody wants a war in Germany, but there are different opinions about the way you can reach this aim. There are a lot of people who say we only can have peace when we are strong, because there's still a lot of anti-communism in Germany. And a lot of people feel that we have to have these weapons. And there's another thing which might be characteristic for Germany. I think that some people, maybe not only elderly people, maybe people from every generation, they feel that going on the street and demonstrating for your rights is not decent. So it's sort of, and together, maybe to fight for peace together with communists is not decent. And so you have a lot of discussions with other people. You really have to convince them that it's necessary to stage a demonstration, to show what you think about the weapons and to, well, to encourage them to discuss it.
It was impressive for us. You can see it in the on this picture on the right side, that even soldiers marched against the nuclear arms, German soldiers.
This is a very famous saying. It says, imagine there's war and nobody comes and nobody goes. At first sight, I love this sentence, but at second thought, I sometimes think it's terrible as well, because maybe they can do a war without us. They don't need us. They just push the button and the war is about. But it has become a real slogan in Germany.
And they try to discuss these problems in various ideas. And they had a lot of fantasy. They made big sheets, and everyone was able to write his opinion on this sheet of paper, and they discussed it on the church days inside the consistories. We discuss those problems in our consistory when we meet and talk about it, how Christians have to decide.
And in, what was it, 1984, the weapons came, the cruise missiles and Pershing II came to Europe, and a lot of people then discussed, what can we do now? So we weren't successful, but what can we do now? And the last step was they tried to do, well, civil disobedience or non-violent action. So they did sit-ins in front of the American, was it air bases or wherever these weapons came. And this again showed them, there were teachers and judges and students and all sorts of people. And I know that several friends of mine who are teachers, they were really punished because this was considered to be a criminal act against the law and order. When you do a sit-in, when they blocked the roads towards the air bases. And then they were, well, symbolically punished. They got less salary and, well, they got less salary for one or two days. This was, it didn't mean much as far as the money was concerned, but it meant that your government is really against you, that they punish you symbolically for that.
Now, only in the Netherlands, on the right side, you can read a Dutch sentence, only the Netherlands refused to take the cruise missiles up to now, and the Pershing II, and they say, let's keep out all the nuclear arms, and we start with it in the Netherlands. That was a slogan. We start with those actions in our own country, and don't go to the Russians, and we don't go to the United States, and we start with it inside the country where we live. And I think it was a very good idea. Do you have to turn it, please? That was a very famous symbol. It started in East Germany. The Church of East Germany made those signs. You could put it on your shirts, t-shirts. And I know that a lot of young people really had to suffer in schools and to suffer when they went out on the street, when they tried to wear it. Because it means swords to plowshares. Swords to plowshares. And the funny thing is, the picture you can see, the man who makes a plowshare out of a sword was given by the Soviet Union to the UN. That's funny, really. I think it stands before the UN building in New York. And so it was really peculiar that the government of East Germany punished those persons who tried to show this sign, because East Germany and the Soviet Union belong very close together. And, well, it's a sentence of the prophet Micah. It's a biblical sentence. And that's another sign that they had a lot of wonderful ideas to say we have to change our way of life. We don't need those weapons. And then we had big meetings of artists for peace.
That was the sign, a picture of Picasso, the little girl with the dove pigeon in her hands. And a lot of artists gave their voice and gave their music out of all countries of Europe, very famous artists from the United States as well. We had big meetings in our soccer fields, on our soccer fields, and thousands of people went there. And there was another sign that everyone wanted to give his gifts to this movement, especially the artists. And that was a sign for the Artists for Peace. Yeah, that's a sort of our meditation picture. We wanted to finish with this slide today to talk about what peace really is. What do you need for peace? How do you feel when you look at this picture, that peace is really not only that we don't have war, but that everyone is able to have enough food and to be treated in justice. So we thought that's a nice picture to finish those slides today. Before we want to talk to you and you may ask questions, we want to sing another song to you. Only one or two verses. It's about students who fought for the liberty 100 years ago and they were put into prison and then they found a way to get out, and those students were a symbol of liberty and peace for today as well. In dem Kerker saßen zu Frankfurt an dem Main schon seit vielen Jahren sechs Studenten ein, die für die Freiheit fochten und für das Bürgerglück und für die Menschenrechte der Freien Republik. Und der Kerkermeister sprach es täglich aus: Sie, Herr Bürgermeister, es reißt mir keiner aus. Aber doch sind sie verschwunden abends aus dem Turm, um die zwölfte Stunde bei dem großen Sturm. Und am anderen Morgen hört man den Alarm. Oh, es war entsetzlich, der Soldatenschwarm. Sie suchten auf und nieder, sie suchten hin und her. Sie suchten sechs Studenten und fanden sie nicht mehr. Sie suchten auf und nieder, sie suchten hin und her. Sie suchten sechs Studenten und fanden sie nicht mehr. Okay. So now you're of course eager to ask questions, and you are allowed to do this. We have enough time. Yeah. Oh, sure. We're together. Oh, yes. No, I told you, I think it's very interesting to have a look how our churches started to discuss this problem. And well, we started to discuss it in the consistory. We invited generals from our army, generals against nuclear arms. We have a lot of generals. Mostly they're out of duty. And then they're allowed to talk. And then they're allowed to talk. And those came, and Martin Niemöller came into our consistory and he talked with the congregation about this issue. And then we made biblical studies. And we looked into the Old and New Testament, and then we decided to write a letter to the city mayor of our town that he will decide that Wuppertal, where we live, is a nuclear-free zone. And they decided to do it because we have a social democratic and a green government in our town. So, well, it's a symbolic act, of course, but the church asked for it, and the unions as well. And so the church is very much involved.
And teachers' salaries are also paid by the state, is that correct? If they were symbolically punished for taking part, why are you not also?
Well, I'm not paid by the state. The state takes the money for the church.
That's right.
But
the money belongs to the church, so the church can decide what to do. If you do very bad things as a minister, the church punishes you and gives you only half the salary, for example.
But as a teacher, you have this famous status of a German Beamter. I don't know, you will know what it means. This means that when you have worked for several years, you get a German Beamter. That means your job is guaranteed forever, but you have to be loyal to the state. This dates back, I think, to Prussia and to the Prussian state. And there are a lot of people who discuss whether this is so useful today. I, as a teacher, I really had to, when I got to Beamter, I had to swear an oath on the Grundgesetz, on our
Constitution,
yeah, that I will always be loyal to the state. So I don't think that your teachers do it over here. So I'm a state employee, as a teacher, every teacher is.
Sorry? Well, they discuss it sometimes. I don't think it's possible, because when it really will start, it will grow and grow, and it will come perhaps to your country as well. But we think that it will start, when it will start, in Europe, in the midst of Europe and close to the border to East Germany. And sometimes while they discuss this, the nuclear war, which is limited,
we are very aware of what your president says, and there has been this terrible saying. And we were very scared, we felt really threatened. And this is only an assumption. You can say, yes, I believe it, or I believe it not. And I think nobody can say whether this is possible.
You involved in the USSR dialogue with the Soviet Union. And one of the issues that you raised in the slide, an issue to do with Soviet-German relationships and the history of the relationship between those two nations. Do you feel, well, yesterday you mentioned that the worship is going on in East Germany, the worship is going on in the Soviet Union. Do you think peace movement in West Germany and East Germany is able to facilitate more positive relationships between German nation and Soviet Union?
We hope. A lot of peace movement members went to the Soviet Union to talk to some politicians and some other groups there, and we hope that the connections will grow. That's a hope, really, and I think it's a good idea that you mention it. And especially between East and West Germany, we have the same language, we have the same tradition before the World War II. So, and the church is a very close connection, close together. We hope that it will grow and that we will talk and continue our talks. So we are invited to the church days in East Germany, and we go and we bring new ideas, and they give us these symbols, for example. It's made in East Germany, and we were very grateful for that.
You were invited to East Germany for church days?
Yeah.
How often are those? And
twice a year in East Germany.
Then you go there.
Mm-hmm. That's much easier than the East Germans to West Germany. That's very difficult.
You don't have an exchange. I mean, they don't come to West Germany.
Very, very seldom. Only the bishops or the heads of the churches. Sometimes a minister, but he has to leave his family at home, and that he will come back. Mm-hmm.
You indicated that you have groups that are in front of the churches that exchange war toys for others. How effective is it? We seem to be going through a phase of what they call Rambo Mania, which is a really spreading, war-oriented, very violent type of situation. And I see it as really a negative thing. And I was wondering how effective this has been, and if it's growing, or where that leading.
I feel that a lot of parents are concerned about the toys they give to their children. And for example, we have a lot of parents' initiatives that means that parents try to do their own preschools. They come together and they Well, they rent a house or a building, and they do the repair work, and they apply for official money, and then they try to educate their children the way they want it. And these are mostly people that belong to the Green Movement or to the Peace Movement. And such initiatives, they too go in front of the churches and tell other people what they think about war toys and all the violent films in TV. I think this is far worse over here. We don't have that many violent films in TV, but we do have them too. And I think it's a growing movement. It is successful, but not to the extent we wanted. But on the other hand, I think when you see a little boy or a little girl with a pistol in his or her hand, that doesn't mean that they will be violent soldiers. So
you can see
this
our
is
boys
only one aspect
as well
of educating children, I think. It's not the whole. If they don't have these war toys, it doesn't mean that they are adherents of the peace movement. So it's just one aspect.
We made sometimes an offer in our worship services that children could come forward to lay it on the altar, those soldiers and those cars, and then they got a present for it, another game or a puppet or a doll.
We had a real, it seemed like a few years ago, there was a real emphasis on that, and remember, you didn't see G.I. Joe dolls in the stores. They were taken off the market for a while because of lack of interest, I suppose. But they're all back now, and now you have you can walk down the toy mart, toy aisles, and there'll be a whole aisle.
We noticed that.
And this is just, what is it, 5 years or last 4 or 5 years? It seems like it's been, and it's just increasing.
In Sweden, for example, it's not allowed to sell those toys anymore. Not at all. And Netherlands, I think, as well.
G.I. Joe, Master Pass Harvard, that's one of the best things.
I think the peace movement was very important, that people of all parts of our country, of all parties, of all churches, tried for the first time to listen to each other and to talk to each other. That was really new, that the communists talked to the liberals and the social democrats to the Christians. And that was really a feeling of freedom and liberty and joy, and it was wonderful times to talk together and to march together. So we don't forget that. Not much. I think unification between East and West Germany, it's not our problem.
I think it doesn't play any part in the peace movement. Mm. This is a totally different part of the population.
No, not at all.
They try to come together and to work together, but I think, especially those people who are in the green, in the peace movement, they accept Eastern Germany as a different state, a different nation.
It's true.
No, I think the peace movement, I think, wants to work with East Germany. They really want to come together, and they feel that they have the same problems, the same questions. But this is more important to fight against war.
But they work together with the peace groups in East Germany, or the environmental groups in East Germany. That's the connection.
And we feel that this is much more important than just a formality, that we come together and work together in those places where it's necessary.
You talk about the role of the church a little bit in the peace movement. And I wonder if you could say just a little bit about whether that's just something peculiar to your church, or pretty much all the churches in Germany actively involved in the peace movement. And can you compare that with what you see in this movement?
No, not all churches. I think the Catholic Church is more reserved, more conservative in Germany. That's the other way around, a little in the United States, I think. Your bishops and the pastoral letters they wrote about peace and about the economical crisis. I think they did a wonderful job here. And our Catholic bishops are very conservative, and they said, well, 1 year ago, we need the nuclear arms to defend our country against communism, and they have to stop first, and then we will follow. And in the Protestant Church, we have a lot of meanings, but mostly you can say that you have the way to the peace movement, and even some bishops of our church and some heads of our church, they say, we have to, that's a sentence, we have to say a no without any yes. A no without any yes. Because in the 50s, they said a no with a yes. So they said, we have to stop the nuclear arms, but it's a long way to go to there, and we have to negotiate before, and you don't know if you are able to trust the Russians, and the church said it in the 50s. And now they decided to say no. Now is the time to say no. We really want to get rid of those terrible weapons.
And there's another point we forgot to mention. I don't know whether you know that your president is the one who decides whether these weapons are used or not. And this is a very peculiar feeling. So, you know that after World War II, there's never been a peace treaty. And in a way, we have still your soldiers in our country. We have still English soldiers and French soldiers. This is a symbolic act in a way. We have this idea of Europe, and we are no longer an occupied country. But in a way, in this point, as far as now the nuclear weapons are concerned, I feel that this is an unbelievable situation. And the way our politicians accept it, they don't even discuss it in public. It's just so they don't even discuss it. It's just your president who can decide it. To me, this is unbelievable.
Do other people feel it's unbelievable?
Oh, you saw them on the slide.
Yes, on the slide, you mentioned about your own bishops. We have, of course, had our own bishops in the United States, but also Lutheran bishops who have spoken very candidly about the concern about maybe there are in Central America. Our bishop in Texas, Louisiana, has spoken about Central America. But as you see, some type of some black oil. Are your bishops in the non-Roman tradition speaking out? Those who have some clouds and power, are they even good people of power or speaking out?
Oh, yes, some do. Especially those I told you yesterday who opposed the Hitler regime. We have some old persons of this time still living and still very active. We admire them because they're sometimes more active than we are. And those people, well, you see, they are sort of saints. Nobody would dare to criticize them. And, well, they go on television and they go to the congregations and they make worship services as well and they tell the people. And I think that's very important that they continue. We have a lot of very good bishops as well. Well, we have others too, but the discussion, you can't stop the discussion anymore. And every consistory has to decide, and every, we call it Landeskirche, what would you translate it? Landeskirche, it's a Bavarian Landeskirche, and Hanoveran Landeskirche, they have to decide as well, because the church, the World Council of Churches ask them every year what they go to do.
You mentioned the other day that you have partner churches in Eastern, each congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever do anything together on the peace issue?
Oh, yes.
Are they able to in Eastern?
Well, yeah. You see, they write prayers for peace and send those prayers to us, and we use them in our worship services, and we send them literature and books and posters about the peace issue, and they use it for the confirmation class. So that's possible.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Sorry? Well, they try to discuss it. It's more difficult in East Germany, because then the state says, if you are against our nuclear weapons, you are against the socialism, because our nuclear weapons want to defend the socialism. So they think the nuclear weapons, they have two kind of working.
Do you have a governing body under the president that you can write letters to?
This Krefelder Appell, what you have seen, this sentence the people said, we don't want the Pershing II and the cruise missiles on German soil, that was given to our government, to the Chancellor, 2 million signatures. And that was quite many.
But still they were deployed in the soil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This was really a setback. We felt
that
terribly.
It concerns me that still the people spoke, and there are many of us who spoke and wrote, and still the Persian missiles were deployed in their soil. Maybe you can speak a little bit historically again, that following the Second World War, Germany did not have for a decade, was not a military nation, West Germany, is that correct?
A few years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we are the second or the third greatest seller of weapons into the world, West Germany, especially to South Africa and to Latin America and the far Near East.
And not everything is done publicly.
Mm.
So they find ways and methods to do it.
Oh, it's a government policy. Oh, yes. No, but they must get license, you see.
Yes,
for
but
it.
They can find ways, I think. You can always find ways as a company, as a, well, military company.
Yeah.
I think that our government forbids it to trade with weapons, but you can find ways. I think those people are very, very clever, and they find ways to sell their weapons.
Well, but we worked in the anti-apartheid movement, and it was very clear that the German government helped the South African government.
Not publicly.
Not publicly,
yeah.
But the government really knew about it, that they got the know-how of the nuclear arms, for nuclear arms in South Africa. So it came from West Germany a great deal. And, yeah.
They had the nuclear arms technology from the United States.
As well. Mm-hmm. You mean in South Africa now?
No, I mean in West Germany.
You had a lot of Germans over here, and then we bought it back.
Yeah.
This is a whole
very close connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're being a puppet of the United
States? A little bit, sometimes, yeah.
I think the German-American relationship has always been very close. You have been always very influential in Germany. And after World War II, you were the savior in Europe, and everybody only looked to America. You over here, you were the great example. And then this changed with the Vietnam War. It was not only the Vietnam War, but I think that our society then had reached another level, that the young generation then noticed that what their parents did, just buying cars and building houses and trying to have more and more money, they weren't satisfied with that. The same over here. And this was exactly the time of the Vietnam War, and they became political and more conscious. And at that time, I think the German-American relationship really changed. And among the younger generation. And the next step, I think, was when your weapons now came over. So a lot of people felt, but a lot of people then knew that many, many people over here fight against these weapons too, and that your peace movement is very, very strong, and we can learn a lot of you. So again, this the American-German relationship, I feel, changed. There are some people who are anti-American now, I think, but a lot of them, you felt that as well when you were over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who feel like that. But I think those who are really concerned with the peace issue, they know that we can work together and that we can really learn a lot from each other.
The peace movement went to the United States and met the Freeze movement here, and they made talks. So I think that's the best way to do.
Mm. And I think there are still people who don't question the superiority of your president and who don't question the influence America has in Europe.
This is still a reality. Mm. So
our government now, they would do whatever you would tell them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You indicated earlier in the day that in possibly 2 years or less, there will be change in Russia.
Mm.
Can you speculate on any change towards the peace movement that you foresee coming? I don't suspect.
We are very eager to see what will happen then, because the Social Democrats, they now form a strong part of the peace movement. And I think their suggestions are very progressive, and we are very eager to see what they do when they are in power.
Because a Social Democratic president decided to take the cruise missiles. It was Schmidt, yeah, in 79. He was Social Democratic, and he said, okay, we take them when the Russians don't stop the SS-20. So we hope the Social Democrats, together with the Green movement, will make a new government.
And but now, as our Social Democrats are in the opposition, they fought very strongly for the peace movement. And maybe it's a different thing whether you are in power or you are in the opposition. We hope that they will be honest.
Well, no, it's very different here. The party out of power, for lots of them and against lots of them, once they're elected.
Yeah, it's always the problem. Yeah.
We grew up in the Cold War when communists were bad and we're obviously the good guys. What's the German reaction toward Gorbachev? And is that going to be a fundamental change in Russian leadership, or just another name of it? Same.
Well, we hope that we will continue the negotiations and that he will really go to Geneva and send people to Geneva who mean it really and who want to stop the arms race. I think he's a very intelligent person, very clever man.
But is the peace movement critical to his survivorship as the Russian leader, or is it just another little minor? Is he more concerned about the economy? Is he more concerned about staying in Afghanistan?
For me personally, it's too early to judge this. Yeah. I do not really know what.
Well, he had close connections, Gorbachev, before he was elected to Western Europe. He went to England and he went to the Netherlands, and the people got him to know, and they thought, that's a guy we can deal with, we can talk to him. He's not an old fellow.
We hope. Okay. All you can say.
Okay. You want to finish with one verse of We Shall Overcome, if you like. That's the song we learned from the American peace movement, American civil disobedience, and American civil rights marches. And if you like, we can continue tomorrow about the peace movement, well, how to deal with the little steps in the families, in the congregations, how you can talk to people who have another opinion than you have, how you can do this. We would like to continue tomorrow.